Just with Mary, Lord. I just spoke with her, Lord, about her father. And Father, I pray that you would give her courage. I would thank you, Jesus, that you brought him here and he met you just recently, Lord, that he is going to heaven. I praise you for that, God, that you drew him here to meet you. And Lord, I pray that you would comfort Patty or Mary's heart, that you would hold her up. Lord, that you would give her what she needs. Lord, become all that she needs during this difficult time. I pray for the family, Lord, that they would have your grace and just your peace as they walk through this difficult time. And Lord, we come corporately as the family of Calvary Chapel Santee, and we pray for Patty and Christina and these children. Lord, the only way to walk through something like this is with you. And so, Jesus, we pray that you would be there, you would be in their midst, that you would hold them, that you would comfort, that you would be all that they need, Lord, as they face the loss of someone that they love so much, Jesus. And Father, we thank you that we do have the hope of eternity, that this life is not all there is. And I just commit this study into your hands now, Lord. I pray that you would bless it, that you, Holy Spirit, we invite you here. You are our welcome guest, Lord, the great teacher. And we pray that you would teach us as we walk through the verse 14 verses of Ephesians. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as I studied this week, what I saw, remember I gave you my P words for each chapter? Does anybody know what P word this chapter is? Possessions, very good. Whoever said that? It's possessions. Chapter 1 is about the possessions that we have in Christ. And as I read this letter, I felt like it was Paul. He was writing to his family. He's facing death because he's in prison. And he's thinking, what legacy will I leave my kids? You know how we think about that? That someday we're going to be gone. What kind of legacy will we leave for our children? What kind of inheritance will we leave for our children when we're not around anymore? And I think Paul certainly had his eyes on the eternal when he wrote these first 14 verses. Let's read them together. Ephesians 1, 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heavens and things on the earth. And him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. These are some powerful 14 verses. It's almost like one big sentence of Paul saying, this is what you got. Here it comes. This is what you get in Christ. This is what you get. Our possessions in Christ. This letter to the Ephesians is not a letter of correction, like maybe 1 and 2 Corinthians or maybe Philippians. It's a letter of love. He's saying, you're my kids. You're my family. And this is what we have in Christ. This is what we have. In Christ is said 27 times in the book of Ephesians. 10 of those times are in these 14 verses. So he wants us to know, as children with a heavenly Father, what our inheritance is and what are the blessings of being in Christ. So the topic of this session is called Riches in Christ. We live in two spheres, the human sphere and the divine, the visible and the invisible. And I found this quote, you know, I'm a quote lover. Money can buy you a house, but not a home. Money can buy you a book, but not wisdom. Money can buy sex, but not love. Money can buy medicine, but not health. Money can buy a clock, but not time. Money can buy a bed, but not sleep. Money can buy a position, but not respect. And money can buy insurance, but not safety. Isn't that true? I love that. I want you to start thinking like that. We tend to think so temporally or worldly instead of spiritually. But we are spiritual beings. And there's another side to things. And so in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the unseen things are eternal. And that's what Paul, he's leaving an unseen legacy to his kids, those kids that he loves. In this first 14 verses, this is such good stuff. I can't tell you how fun it was for me to study this. Because I'm kind of a hyper person, and I'm an optimistic kind of person. And I love when the truth of the Bible just blesses us with, you know, and that's what's going to happen. Okay, so it's significant that Paul writes about wealth. He talks about the riches we have in Christ because Ephesus was considered the bank of Asia. There was a lot of wealthy people. So the people he was speaking to, they were familiar with wealth. Paul was on trial for his life, and he was concerned about the spiritual needs of the churches that he had planted. He was facing death. He knew that in Christ, we can claim the promises of God and draw on his limitless resources to meet every need we may face, even Patty Morales and Mary Barling today can draw on those rich resources, and Jesus will meet them right where they are. In this first chapter, Paul explains to us what the riches in Christ are and how we can draw on them for effective Christian living. He does not promise to shield us from poverty or pain. Those are, you know, not elective courses in the education of life. Every single one of us will have to suffer in this life. But you know what? Oswald Chambers said this. He's one of my, I love him. He wrote My Utmost for His Highest, and it's one of the best devotional. I think it is the best devotional I've written. He says, difficulty draws me into his presence. Blessing is apt to make me look elsewhere. Isn't that good? Difficulty draws us into his presence. Sometimes, if we're not careful, blessing is apt to make us look elsewhere. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So that goes right along with what we just read in Ephesians 1. Proverbs 27:20 says this, and I don't know about you. I'm a shoe person, so I know this is true. The eyes of man are never satisfied. I don't need that many pairs of shoes. I really don't. And Gary laughs at me. I mean, I could take up 3/4. We share a closet, which says a lot in California. Most people have their own walk-in. But we share a closet. 3/4 of the floor are my shoes, and then Gary has 4 pair, you know? The eyes of man are never satisfied. That's just truth. It's just who we are. We're temporal. We're, you know, but we are spiritual beings as well. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You know, those shoes never satisfy. I just keep wanting a different kind, the newest style. Jesus Christ satisfies. I don't know about you, but if I'm not careful, it is much easier for me to grumble about what I don't have than to be grateful what I do. And let me tell you, if you live in America, you are part of the wealthiest people of this world, this earth we live on. We have so much. Even people who are on welfare here have far more than the rest of the world has. So I remember Sandy McIntosh teaching one time. Some of the things she has taught me over the years really stick in my brain. And one time at a woman pastor's wives retreat, she said, yeah, we all want life, liberty, and just a little bit more. Isn't that right? You know, I don't need to have a mansion, but just a little bit more, Lord. Just, you know, it's just who we are. So Paul is going to explain to us, I picked the seven riches out of this section. He has blessed us. He has chosen us. He has predestined us. He has adopted us. He has redeemed us, and he has forgiven us, and he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. It's powerful stuff, ladies. This is the true riches of this life. Shoes never satisfy. Houses never satisfy. Cars never satisfy. They just get scratches, and then you want another one. None of that stuff satisfies, but Jesus Christ satisfies. Number one, he has blessed us. Verse 3 says, he is blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Blessed means, oh, how happy. It means he has given us what we need. And, you know, I thought about this. What has he blessed me with? At 22 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was a wacko before that. I was just a wacko. That's only the way to describe her. I just did whatever I wanted. I was wild and crazy. But at 22, I accepted Jesus Christ. And what has he given me? What have I built the past 34 years of my life, or 35 years? What have I built my life on? Has it been a car I drove or a job I got or any? No. My life has been built on wisdom, kindness, patience, love, forbearance, joy, and peace. That's what he gave me. That's the riches that he gave me. And because he gave me those things, I've been able to have healthy relationships. I've been able to hold down a job. I've been able to love the unlovely, because this truly is the riches in Christ. It's the gold of life. This stuff is gold. The heavenly sphere is what provides the power and perspective for the earthly walk. Yeah, we're here. We're stuck here in this fallen, filthy world. But the heavenly perspective, that those riches that we have in Christ, that's what gives us the gas to go. That's what gives us the ability to do marriage in such a filthy, fallen world and stay pure to one another, to raise kids in such an insane, crazy, messed up place where Satan is trying to just get them all on drugs. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. His divine power has granted us everything we need for life and godliness. How? Through the true knowledge of him. You want to have everything you need for life? Just get to know Jesus. Just read your Bible. That's it. That's the good stuff. Everything you need. It's not complicated. It's really not. Psychologists and psychiatrists make it very complicated. It's not. Jesus Christ is truth. Line up with Jesus Christ and know him, and your life gets rich and blessed. Through the true knowledge of him, we are given every spiritual blessing. Colossians 2:10, in him you have been made complete. Complete means lacking nothing. In him, in Jesus Christ, we've been made complete. I was extremely incomplete without Jesus. Let me just tell you. Wacko. And you know what? I'd rather have a weak body and a strong spirit than a strong body and a weak spirit. Because what's inside of me is what messes up my life. Now, ideally, I would have a strong body and a strong spirit, but I don't like to exercise, so. Number two, he has chosen us, verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So not only has he blessed us, he has chosen us. This means he made a choice. He specifically picked you out.
awesome? He specifically picked you. He picked me. I still am baffled by that. That he would see me in my scumbucket life and say, yeah, I want her. That just absolutely, my mind goes on fritz when I try and think like that. I have lots of friends who over the past 30 years have destroyed their life because they didn't meet Jesus Christ at 22. And I praise God that I did, because I know I would have hurt so many people. I can't really get this, can you? And not only did he pick us, specifically pick you, while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look around this room. Look around this room. These are chosen people. We are chosen people from the designer of the universe. That's powerful stuff. Specifically picked. I didn't deserve to be chosen, but he is God and he can do whatever he wants, and I'm not going to argue with him. I'm so glad he wanted me. It's changed my whole life. And why were we chosen? To be holy and blameless. To live in holiness and blameless before God so that we have peace in Christ is where these blessings come. He had to choose me. Somebody said this. He had to choose me before the foundation of the world because he certainly wouldn't have chosen me after. Amen? Yeah, that's the truth right there. And Jesus said in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit. I thought I chose him. Did you think you chose him? I did. I thought, okay, I've decided to follow Jesus. But you know, the truth was he was a hound of heaven. He was after me from when I was a little tiny girl. And he never let up until I finally said uncle. Okay, number one, you're blessed. Number two, you're chosen. Number three, you're predestined. Verse 5, in love. I love it. You know, in love in my Bible was in the previous verse, but it really belongs in verse 5. In love, he predestined us to adoption as daughters through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. In love, he predestined us. Predestines means to predetermine or foreordain. He picked us. He predestined us. And let me just tell you right now, I am not a theologian. And I'm not going to give you some treatise on predestination because I couldn't do it. Psalm 131:1 says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, and neither do I concern myself in great matters or in things that are too high for me. And I'm going to tell you straight up, predestination is too high for me. I can't concern myself. Now, a lot of you can, and praise God. And Gary can. Boy, he can. But predestination, I just believe it. Jesus said it. I believe it. That settles it. He says I'm chosen. He says I'm predestined. That's good stuff for me. I'll leave that other predestination to the scholars. Men way smarter than me struggle over this one and have for generations. But I do. Here's one way that I maybe can help you see predestination. I see it like two rails on a track. They run parallel. Man's responsibility and God's sovereignty, they run parallel on this track. They don't ever really meet, but they're both needed. And so I kind of see it that way. The two rails form the same track but never come together. Man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. And somebody said that on the gates of heaven, when you walk through the gates of heaven, it says, whosoever will may come. And then if you turn around and look back, it says, elect from the foundations of the world. Isn't that good? Whosoever will may come. Elect from the, but when you look back, elect from the picked. You know, he picked me. And Spurgeon said this, if God had revealed to me that he put a wide yellow stripe down the back of all human beings who were elected or picked by God, I would spend my days walking the streets of London lifting up shirts. But because he did not, I preach whosoever will may come. And that's good enough for me, right? And D.L. Moody said, Lord, save the elect or the picked. You know, the elect means picked. And then save some more, elect some more. You know, save the elect and then elect more. So we were blessed. We were chosen. We were predestined. And number four, he adopted us. Verse 5, we have the adoption as daughters according to the kind intention of his will. I may not know a lot about predestination,
but I think I know a little bit about adoption because Gary and I have adopted two children. Adoption means to place, lay, or set as a son, daughter, or heir. To lay, to place someone somewhere and set them as an heir. We have two adopted daughters, and they became Lawtons. And even when they didn't act like Lawtons, we never changed their name. And that's the truth with you. You are chosen. You are predestined. You are adopted. And even though the Bible says somewhere in the Old Testament, even a righteous man falls seven times, gets back up again. Isn't that good? I forget where it's at. But I like that because I fall. But I always get back up. And Jesus never gives up on me, and he never changes my name. Because he's what love really is. It was a done deal. They are heirs to our vast kingdom, these two girls. Mine and Gary's vast kingdom. Yeah, poor things. And that will never change. They have all the rights and privileges of our natural born children, which we have two more. It took a while for them to get it. We really love them. And it took them a while for them to get that because they've been hurt. It took a while for them to really get it, that we love them and that we would never leave them and we would never change their name. And you know, sometimes for us, as being chosen, predestined, and adopted by God, sometimes it takes us a while too, huh? Sometimes it's kind of hard to really fathom that's how much love God has for his kids. Because we do mess up. Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as children, and by which we cry out, Abba, Father." He's our Father. He picked us. He picked us. It's just good stuff. So we're blessed, we're chosen, we're predestined, we're adopted, and number five, we're redeemed, verse 6. In him we have redemption through his blood. To redeem means to purchase and set free by paying a price. 1 Peter 1:18 said you were not redeemed with perishable things, like silver or gold from your futile way of life, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We were redeemed. And you know, before Jesus, I was a slave to sin and selfishness. I was hopelessly and helplessly unable to change. I've told you before, I would party that night before, then get up and throw my cigarettes out the window. And I can't stand girls that smoke cigarettes. So I'd throw my cigarettes out the window. I'd get up the next morning, wake up, start getting ready for work, and want a cigarette. And go right to the gas station, buy another pack of cigarettes. I was helplessly bound to myself. To my sin nature, to my wicked, selfish sin nature. I didn't have the power to make contrary choices against my sin nature until the Holy Spirit moved in. And when he moved in, he gave me the power to overcome incredible sin and selfishness. Ephesians 1:7 says, we have been redeemed through faith. So there's three parts to redemption. Ephesians 1 says, we have been redeemed through faith. Romans 8:1-4 says, we are being redeemed. We're still being redeemed as his Holy Spirit works in our lives. And then future in Revelation, we will be redeemed with Christ when he returns. So we are blessed. We're chosen. We're predestined. We're adopted. We're redeemed. Number 6 is we're forgiven. He has forgiven us. We have forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. We have the forgiveness according to how perfect Meef is able to be? No. We have forgiveness based on his grace, his love. Forgiveness means the dismissal, release, pardon, to carry away or make free. And we don't have to live in the crippling chains of shame and guilt anymore. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah, you can say hallelujah. Go for it. I like that. The blood of Christ is now able to wash the filth from the deepest part of me, able to cleanse my mind, my soul, my thoughts, all that would drive me mad without him, all that was driving me mad. Before I met Christ, the burden of sin is a heavy burden. It weakens my body, damages my soul, destroys my hope, and depresses my mind. And you know, I have friends who have chosen over the years to walk away from the Lord and walk in sin. And one girl walked into my dining room and I said, "What in the world is wrong with you?" I could see it all over her face. She had been instrumental in leading me to Christ. I knew she was a believer. And so I said, she was like 85 pounds. I said, "What is wrong with you?" And she broke and told me she was having an affair. Now she went back to her husband. Everything's good. But I could see the shame and the guilt written on her face. But in Christ, we have these blessings. We have the forgiveness of sin. No more shame and guilt. Even my sins that I'm going to commit today when I'm rude to Gary. You know, when I'm being selfish and I'm not thinking, you know, really godly, and I do things that I shouldn't do, which we all do. We can just say, "Father, forgive us." If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And His mercies are new every morning. So it's like you can take a spiritual bath, right? You take a spiritual bath, you get rid of all the crud, you know, and you wake up in the morning, it's a new day with Jesus. We are forgiven. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience." We can actually have our hearts and our conscience clean and sprinkled clean. Oh, that's good stuff. Psalm 51:7 says, "Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." Isn't that good? So he blessed us, He's chosen us, He's predestined us, He's adopted us, He's redeemed us, He's forgiven us, and lastly, He sealed us. Verse 13, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, have also believed, and you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." The word "sealed" means to seal up. It's a finished transaction. It's a done deal. This sealing implies ownership. God has put His seal on us because He has purchased us for Himself. As believers, we belong to God. We are safe and protected because we are part of a finished transaction. The Holy Spirit is mentioned many times in this letter because He is the one who channels our riches to us from the Father. The Holy Spirit is the helper. He's the one who channels this, the adoption, the redemption, the forgiveness, all that comes from the Holy Spirit, from the Father. And John 14:16, Jesus said, "I will send you another helper." And that's where the power to live this blessed life comes from, the Holy Spirit. Not to know and depend on the Holy Spirit's provision is to live a life of spiritual poverty, even as a Christian. We have a rich inheritance in Christ, the greatest inheritance I could ever give my children and my grandchildren is not money. It's not a house or a car or any of that stupid stuff. It is a grandma and a mom that loves Jesus with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength and passes on these kind of riches to my kids and my grandkids. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we are rich women. And I pray, like I told you about Hetty, that Hetty Green girl, she was the witch of Wall Street. I pray we don't live like her, with all these riches, and yet living in poverty. In the first 14 verses, I said, "In Christ" is mentioned 10 times in these verses, "in Christ." In the book of Ephesians, it's mentioned 27 times. Outside of Christ, the blessings are not ours. And we can choose. I've had friends, because I've been a Christian a long time now, I've had friends who have chosen to walk outside of Christ, and they have not had His blessing in their life. And I pray that we will be women that stay close to Jesus Christ and will be blessed, chosen, predestined, adopted, redeamed, forgiven, and sealed. Amen? Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Ephesians and the possessions, Lord, that You've given us in heavenly places, Lord, that we don't need to live depressed, discouraged, distracted lives, Lord, that we can live lives filled with Your Holy Spirit, seeing You working, Lord, even in the worst of circumstances. that we can draw on the richness of Christ and be able to walk as women, not go mad in this crazy world, but have sanity and have answers for all the women around us, Lord. And I also pray, Father, that we would be the kind of women that would leave this kind of inheritance to our children. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.